need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Good morning and welcome back to Education Nation. So great to be with you on Saturday mornings here at KLBB 1220. Thanks for joining us today as we are going to touch on a topic that's really important to us here at Education Nation, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Yeah. I mean, Rebecca, it's great to join you again on Saturday morning. We talk about a lot of issues. We're both passionate about Liberty Classical Academy and classical education. But otherwise, I don't know that there is a more important topic right now, if you believe in education for the next generation, than educational choice.
Yes, absolutely.
Than empowering parents to choose. Because I was in New York this past week doing some hosting for Fox, and one of the guests we had wrote a book about homeschooling, and the name of the book was It's Your Child.
Yeah.
It's Your Child. We have to remind ourselves, these are our kids. Every parent should have the power to choose. And if we don't give them that choice, then we're locking them in potentially to a bad situation.
Yes, which we are seeing all across the nation.
Indeed.
So we're going to tackle that today.
We are.
And I'm glad to have you back in the studio with me again, Pete. All right, there we go.
Studio high five. We're excited to be here. I do have to make a commentary, though, too. When we walk in, this is the station of the Green Bay Packers. They play the Packers games here. I have no love for the Packers. I'm a complete Vikings fan. So tough week for Vikings fans, obviously, with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I want to keep him in our prayers.
Right.
Such an amazing example for young people, for football players, for athletes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wish the best to Teddy Bridgewater on his injury. Football becomes secondary quickly when you see a guy like that go down.
Oh, I tell you.
Obviously, we want to have a great season. And then you contrast that. I was in Fox also commenting a lot on Colin Kaepernick, the backup quarterback of the 49ers, who's choosing to sit down for the national anthem.
Which is appalling to me.
Just a disgrace. And I think the contrast of those two men says a lot. And so, you know, here we stand for the national anthem. We believe in our country, and we're grateful for everyone else that
we
does.
We sure do.
For sure.
And with that is choice.
Yeah.
And choice is an important piece of our country, and parents should really be the ones that are primarily responsible for the education
That's
of
right.
their kids. And so, therefore, they should have a choice. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that means, because sometimes we hear the term parental choice or school choice, but we don't really know exactly what that means. So we're going to talk about that.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I guess I take that for granted. I say, hey, we're going to talk about school choice, educational choice, vouchers, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
What does that really mean? And again, to remind the Education Nation audience, I'm here to provide some color and ask the questions. It is Rebecca Hagstrom, the headmaster of Liberty, that is the true expert on these issues. So, and we are going to have, I should note, stick around for us, because Senator David Hahn, who is in the legislature and the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, is going to, he's really an expert. You might call him our school choice correspondent at Education Nation, even though he's got a much more important day job. He's going to, but before we talk to him, what is the history of school choice? What does school choice mean for all of our listeners?
We're going to lay that out. So back in 1955, Minnesota offered for the first time an educational deduction.
Okay.
So that deduction is still in place today. So that means it's a form of choice in the sense that you can deduct from your state income taxes things for or money for school expenses, including tuition at private schools. Now,
doesn't mean you're getting a credit. Doesn't mean you're getting money.
Nope,
it means
it's a deduction.
You're paying less taxes.
Right.
On that.
So it would just be, you know, like you take a deduction for the number of dependents that you have.
Correct.
It would be the same thing. And I believe that that deduction is maybe limited to a certain degree.
Certain amount.
I know both of these are, and I think one of them is only up to $2,500.
We could ask Senator Hahn that.
We could ask him. That's a good question. That's a good question to ask him. So that was back in 1955, and that's still on the books today. And then open enrollment, which I think people are more familiar with, which means you can open enroll in a district that is different from your district. So you live in Stillwater, you could open enroll in Matamidi.
So amongst public
or
schools.
That type of thing. Exactly. Amongst public schools.
Hypothetically enroll as long as there's openings wherever else you want.
Yes.
To go.
And then there's usually open enrollment within districts too. So you can go to a different school within your district than the one that would be assigned to your address. And that was in 1980 that was brought into bear. And then in 1991, the charter school movement was born right here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota is home to that very first charter school, and that has become a model nationwide. There are a lot of charter schools that have popped up all across, some great, some not so great.
Sure.
And, you know, they've had their share of problems, but they've also had their share of successes. But the important point being that these are started by parents who want to do something different than what the options are within their
sure.
public realm. Now, charter schools are still public schools, so they are still publicly funded, but they're usually privately funded by some type of a sponsor as well.
And they also come without some of the red tape, from what I understand, with principals and management and others.
More
decision making.
Yes,
sometimes.
you have your board, that kind of thing. You've got your own board if you're a charter school. So they would have their own board, which means yes, they have some of that decision making. Now, what is unique about a charter school versus a private school, for instance, is that the charter schools are still under the authority of the state system, so they still have to comply with most of the state rules on education.
So would a charter school
testing
have to use
and that type of thing.
Common Core. Yes.
Yes. Because they have to use those tests. They have to be able to take the tests. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to be required to be taking the tests, then they have to align their curriculum with those tests.
But if you add those three things up, I mean, I think there's a lot of people, especially before more recently, and we're going to talk about how Minnesota's fallen behind on some of these things. There's other states that have moved well beyond these initial ingredients. If you add up a deduction, some level of open enrollment, and then a charter school movement, for a while, Minnesota was appeared to be on the leading edge.
They were considered to be on the leading edge. That's exactly right. But now, in recent years, we haven't seen a lot of change. And what has happened in many other states is the whole voucher movement or, some type of a tuition reimbursement type of a plan.
Sure, scholarship.
And, yep. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. We're going to talk about a few examples that have been very successful nationwide. But we have not seen any movement in that regard here in Minnesota. And we also haven't seen those deductions or any of that actually increase to a significant level where it's actually that helpful.
So it's not as financially helpful
right.
now as it was before. So
you're
right. We'll talk to Senator Hahn about what's in play here in Minnesota, and then we'll talk about some of the gold standards nationwide of other states and what they've done. Because I think, when it comes to school choice, there was a sense that there was a lot more excellence in public schools for a long time, more equity in public schools for a long time. Not perfectly. I mean, there's been racial divides and in different parts of the country. But here in Minnesota, there was a sense of, hey, we do it pretty well. And if you open enroll and you have some charter schools, more or less, it's going to work out well for most people.
Yep.
But as we've seen continued failure in public schools, as we've seen kids trapped in failing school districts.
Right, even right here in Minnesota, in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
That's exactly right. If you want to use the word fairness or equality of opportunity, you start to see generations of kids left behind by a system that won't adapt and by parents that don't have true choice. And that's, I think, what we're talking about. Some choice is nice.
Right.
Real choice is the ability to say, I pay taxes or I'm a citizen.
Right.
How can I make sure my kid goes to the best possible school and is empowered to do so, regardless of their zip code or their bank account.
Let the money follow the child.
That's right.
That is truly the best way to do it. And I don't know, did you ever watch the movie Waiting for Superman, Pete?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one, I think, for our listeners, if you have not watched that movie, I would strongly encourage you to pick up a copy or watch it online, stream it online. It is the most eye-opening movie for the whole importance of school choice. And we have kids languishing in classrooms that they're not learning.
Mm-hmm.
And now, on top of that, we have a lot more of the disrespect. We've covered that in a different show just a couple weeks ago, the St. Paul schools and everything that's happening there and that's happening nationwide as well. So it's not just languishing in a bad classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not necessarily a safe classroom for these kids anymore.
Sure.
So you've got the double whammy.
Yep.
So these parents need options. They need to be given options. And it's not fair that only people that could afford tuition are allowed to send their kids to different options.
And they want the options.
Yes.
And so many of the special interests that block options, they block them because, in contrary to the opinions of that community, they want the options.
Yes,
that want the ability. They want the ability to choose. That's why you see a lot of these inner city pilot programs.
Yeah,
super popular, massive waiting lists.
Yeah.
And you see that in films like that and others where parents are just saying, my one hope for my kid is that they can get into this one school.
Right. And there might be 30 spots only or something.
And there might be 30 spots and 3,000 applicants and it's a lottery system.
Yep, it is.
And when we get to a point where we're a lottery system and we're picking, we have a failed system.
We have a huge problem.
And we have these same things in Minneapolis, Minneapolis and St. Paul schools and in some rural districts that never improved generation mm-hmm. by generation. So you know what? I think it is fair to say at Education Nation, school choice is one of the top three things we're going to keep coming
yes.
back to. This is,
yes.
this is kind of the second time we've talked
yes.
about it on the
yep,
program.
It is. Mm-hmm.
We won't stop talking
Mm-mm.
about it.
No.
The legislature's going to pick it up mm-hmm. and we're going to want to see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
And so I'm excited to talk to Senator Han.
There we
so
go.
So we're going to take a little bit of break and then we're going right. to come back with Senator Han in the next segment.
We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back to Education Nation here on KLBB. It's about 10:40 in the morning here, and I'm joined by Rebecca Hagstrom. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Yeah, glad to be
here. You're in charge.
I'm
here. We're back. We're talking educational choice, a key issue here on this show, and we are really proud to be joined by Senator David Han. He's represents District 48, but he's the minority leader in the Minnesota Senate, and he's really... You might call him also our education correspondent.
Absolutely.
Here at Education Nation.
Yes.
Would you accept that title, Senator?
Pardon me?
Would you accept that title as also?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess with humility, I do think education is a big deal. It's really the issue that got me involved in politics in the first place. I think it is a very important thing, maybe the most important thing we do as a state. And frankly, I think expanding education choice is a critical component to reforming education and restoring it to.
Mm-hmm.
where it needs to be and trying to address some of the persistent problems that we've seen over the years.
Well, Senator, yeah. you're hired as educational
yeah.
correspondent for us then as well. You said it better than any could. You know, we just in the first segment talked about kind of the history of educational choice in Minnesota
right.
and that you know, for a while we were ahead of the curve, whether it was the deduction or the open enrollment and then public charter schools. But what's the status of educational choice now? Have we fallen behind? Are we still on lead of the curve? Where are we?
Well, in my opinion, we've fallen behind considerably. You're right. We were one of the states that did some innovative things first a number of years ago, charter schools, mm-hmm. Open enrollment, PSEO, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But in recent years, I think we have really struggled. We have made attempts to do things like pass a limited voucher that would affect certain students and minority students, poor students in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That didn't mm-hmm. get anywhere. We've had attempts to expand the tax credit for education to include things like tuition. We've also had other bills to do things like establish education savings accounts, similar to what some other states have done.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we've not had any of those things be successful. And, of course, in the last 6 years, we've had for our governor, Mark Dayton, who is a very, very close friend with Education Minnesota. And mm-hmm. as you may know, Education Minnesota, the teachers union, is very, very hostile to any form of school choice. In fact, and you may have covered this in your history, but all those things that were done in the past to expand choices for students and families were opposed by Education Minnesota, and they continue to oppose anything that would allow parents and families to make choices. So I think we have fallen behind. There's other states that have done some really innovative things, really great things, and we are, in our caucus, Republican caucus, we are continually trying to introduce some things that would put us back in the race, if you will, to improve our system through more choice. But so far in the last few years, we really haven't made much progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad that we have a champion in you in trying to promote that within the legislature, because it really does need a champion. You know, we talked about this actually probably back in June when we had a couple mm-hmm. different people from the legislature on. You were one of them, actually.
Right.
And, you know, Pete, I remember you asking the person, who's the champion for education? It was somebody that had talked about some progress they had made in the VA, with the VA, with the veterans. And, you know, we're realizing that, you know what, Senator Han is that champion. And we mm-hmm. are so thankful that we have you. And I'm sure that it's helpful to you if there's others kind of backing you and helping you, because it's not a one-man person or a one-man battle. You really need some people backing you.
Absolutely. And we do have some great leaders on education in our caucus. We are, we think, going to elect a number of new and strong voices for education. It is a central component of our agenda, if you will. We are fighting to win the majority in the state Senate for the Republicans. And mm-hmm. If we are successful, we will pass some expanded choice bills, some opportunities to try to improve education through more choice. I can't guarantee that those bills will be signed by the governor, but we will pass them, and we want to have a conversation about this. I think that, at this point, is the key thing. If we can't get these things signed into law, we can at least try to elevate the volume of the conversation. I think we need to have this conversation, especially for the students that I think can benefit most from the opportunities that education has to offer. There was a time in our history where you had immigrants, newly arrived people who were poor, people from family structures that were dysfunctional or very, very disrupted. And education was always looked at as the thing that helped kids in those circumstances to rise out of them and to become successful, become productive. And unfortunately, where we are right now, it seems like, judging from what the Department of Education has said recently, now what we're hearing is, well, we have all these problems of poverty and dysfunction and immigration, and those are the reasons why we can't be successful at providing education opportunities for kids. We've got it exactly backwards.
Right.
And we need to restore the function of education, which is to help individuals find the tools that will help them get themselves out of the circumstances they may have found themselves in and be successful.
Well said.
And we're going to work very hard at doing that.
Well said. And I think, one of the big buzzword of the left is fairness, right? We want fairness for everybody. And they're the party of equal outcome. Republicans are the party of equal opportunity. How do they defend the utter inequity or unfairness that is those, inner city school districts that perpetually fail kids despite more money and constant focus? But I mean, we understand the debate and how do legislators, Democrats that you talk to, how do they stand up against something like school choice or money following the kids so that a kid can be empowered to leave those districts and go to good ones? How do they use a fairness argument there?
Well, I think it essentially boils down to an argument that says, look, any of these choice mechanisms, whether it's expanding the charter school opportunities or any kind of voucher or any kind of credit that provides a opportunity for a student or a family to choose a school outside of the traditional public school district, any of those things means that if that choice is made, the student leaves the public school district and the money follows the student, exactly as you said. And Democrats look at this as harming the school district, and that the leaving of funds with the student does harm. And so their argument is, maybe that one student would benefit, but the fact that they are taking that money with them harms the whole enterprise, and so therefore we cannot allow that to occur. We cannot allow the leaving of students that would result in the overall harm of the district. But that argument really centers on a couple of things. One is that money is the key to success in education, and I think that is just obviously not the case. If that were the case, Minneapolis would be the most successful district in the state, and it isn't. It's the highest per pupil funding district in the state, and it isn't high performing. There are good schools in Minneapolis and lots of good students, but as a system, they're not doing very well. So it's not money. It really comes down to that relationship between families, parents and students, and teachers, classrooms, schools, and you've got to foster those relationships. And that is not a function of money. I think, in fact, what you want more freedom to allow those classroom teachers and school administrators to develop plans and try things that would be helpful to the students that they actually have to serve. And that's what we want to do. We want to try to free the system up, break down the bureaucracy, and really put parents and teachers, frankly, in charge of figuring out how do we take these kids that come from broken homes or poverty or recent immigrants, and how do we help them achieve some success so they can go on and do other great things for our country.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, you are right.
And I think it's got to be frustrating. I'm sure you have some private conversations behind the scenes with members of the other party who will acknowledge that, hey, there's a lot of things we might want to do, but we've got a really powerful lobby out there that that's going to crush us if we don't. I'm sure you've had those, right?
Well, there is that, yes. And there have been a few Democrats who have, in candor, made comments like that. And in many of the districts in Minneapolis and St. Paul, as you probably know, they're really very, very one-party districts.
Sure.
Democrats, I can't remember the last time a Republican was elected to the state legislature out of the city of Minneapolis or St. Paul. It's probably been decades.
I think Abraham Lincoln was president.
To the school board. Well, maybe, right, a long time ago. And so you just... Their battle politically is to get the endorsement and survive their inner party struggle. And Education Minnesota is a very, very significant player in that. And that is, frankly, again, a part of the reform that we need to face. We need to do things that empower elected school boards and empower families and, frankly, bring some balance back to this relationship. It's pretty clear that the union, the teachers' union, has an extraordinary amount of influence and power, far beyond their numbers, and it's that we need to balance with the power of elected people and with parents. And school choice, frankly, is one of the mechanisms that helps us achieve that. But they will admit to you in private conversation on occasion that they have to be very careful about opposing things that the education union does not does not agree with, that, but gets them into big trouble.
Yeah,
I can see why.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we know that you believe in choice, and we are so thankful. And we want to see that power go back into the hands of the parents. And it's a big battle here in Minnesota. We know it's an uphill climb. We're very thankful that you have been so willing to continue to take that back. I know you served many years on many different school boards, and so you've seen the difference that you can make when you get involved. And I think, unfortunately, in recent years, those school boards are becoming more and more like puppets instead of actual local places of control. And so much is coming down from the federal level and what have you. It's hard for them to even have an influence.
You're right, and absolutely there is no role for the federal government in the delivery of education or the funding of education. And frankly, that is one of the things that we will likely do is stop taking the federal money and all the rules that they insist that we adopt when we take the money.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of our overall state spending on education, the federal portion is a relatively small piece. It's significant. It's a couple $100 million, which is not chump change. But but we spend $8-9 billion a year on K-12 education, and so when you put a couple $100 million as opposed to that, it's a smaller percentage. So I think we can begin to separate ourselves from that, but we have to get the federal government out of its decision-making role in education, and we really have to restore the rights of elected school boards to make decisions.
Yeah.
And part of that, biggest part of that, frankly, you talk about, they become puppets. And there's always a dynamic of superintendents trying to manage the school boards other than the other way around. But a big part of that dynamic is trying to deal with the education unions. And then you have to negotiate salaries and benefits. And those are the biggest parts of any school district budget. 70-80% of every dollar that you spend on public education goes to salary and benefits of staff. And you negotiate those contracts with union organizations who have, in law, very, very powerful biases in their favor.
Yeah.
Things that allow them to strike, things that require that the public collect the dues for the union and deliver to their bank, requires every teacher to become a union member.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into the negotiations and you've got school boards trying to negotiate with people that have the power to shut you down if you don't agree with them, it's very, very daunting. And that's why I say we have to bring some balance back to that to at least make it be a fair fight, if you will. But I really don't believe that the power to strike by public employees in a school is warranted when you look at the kind of disruption to families' lives that those kinds of strikes will make. And if you've got that sort of nuclear threat that you can trot out anytime you're not getting what you want at the bargaining table.
Sure.
It's very, very tough to work against, and we have to, I think, help the school districts, help the school boards get stronger, and that is a part of the reform agenda as well.
You're exactly right. No, we're going to have to leave it right there, but you're right. All of that's going to require strong leadership, and of course, if you don't take that federal money, you're going to be accused of course, hating kids. You do know that, Senator. We know you don't hate them. We know you love them, and that's why you're fighting, and it will take courageous leadership. So we appreciate you coming on the show today, and we look forward to continued conversation on these topics.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us
Senator David Hand.
Absolutely. Yep. Anytime. Happy to do it. Thanks for what you're doing.
Keep us posted. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
We don't need no thought control.
We're back on Education Nation. You know, senators, folks like Senator David Hand, they motivate the heck out of me.
Oh, that's for sure.
I love it. I mean, a principled guy is out there fighting. We just need to give someone like him reinforcements, pro-education reinforcements that'll fight that fight because Governor Dayton has proven
He's not going to.
We did. We promised our listeners that we would give an example of another state doing it well. And as oftentimes happens, I hate to admit it, as a Minnesotan, I can look across the river right now and I see hope. I see a promised land on educational choice in Wisconsin. There's an interesting example in Milwaukee that you want to share.
Yes, I do. So Milwaukee has had a parental choice program in place for quite a number of years, and don't quote me on the number of years, but it's been quite a number of years, and it's been very successful there. And I believe it's actually expanded now beyond Milwaukee up to, you know, other districts.
Okay.
And I believe they can get up to $7,500 in tuition money that they can then take to the private school of their choice. And they've done some research on this, Pete, and they found that students in this program tested 9 to 12% higher in math, reading, and science than their equally disadvantaged peers. So these are inner city kids
Sure.
who are able to take the money and go to the private school of their choice. And the students also graduated at an 18% higher rate. That's significant. You know, when you think about the fact that you've got, at least in Minneapolis and St. Paul, well, especially Minneapolis, I know the graduation rate there
hovers around 50%.
It's about 50%, yeah. Exactly. And even of that 50%, many of those students are not proficient readers to the level that they can be successful. So you look at this and you think, wow, 9 to 12% higher in math, reading, and science, and they're graduating at an 18% higher rate. That is significant.
It's incredibly significant.
And imagine if they could take more and more of their money, maybe money that's being spent right now on Common Core testing that doesn't work very well anyway, or technology, and take that money and put it into more voucher program type things, and they'd get even more kids that they could benefit.
Well, of course. You know, yeah. Senator Hand talked about how some leaders and Democrats will say, well, okay, that one kid's life will get better, but what about the collective? That's such a narrow way of looking at the world. That one kid's education matters, and if you can add them all up and send them to great schools, you've got generations of people being changed.
Right.
This is about people's lives. This is about kids and parents and communities and great schools that they deserve, because damn it, they're Americans too.
Yes, they do.
They are, and
it.
They deserve the exact same thing.
Yep.
The kids in White Bear Lake or Matamita or Wayzata or Minnetonka, they deserve the same options.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us in this state have to look at it and say, well, why are we giving in to anybody that won't fight for those things?
Mm-hmm.
That's what education choice is all about.
Yep.
And our leaders, if they won't give it to us, then we need to demand it and run on it.
The fact of the matter is, it's not working. So the collective isn't getting a good education either.
That's right.
So they should be peeling off as many as they can and helping them. And then that will hopefully motivate the schools that are getting the bulk of the kids, the collective, if you will. And that's going to help them rise up and become better schools as well.
Competition? You mean competition?
I'm actually talking about free market
competition. Oh, no, don't talk about that. No, but that dollar amount at Milwaukee's would cover the mass majority of what it would cost to go to Liberty.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
I mean, Liberty Classical Academy. Imagine if more kids could go to Liberty and get this education, a rigorous commitment. They love this country. They learn about faith. All the things that have been the bedrock of our nation. And the dollars could follow them.
Yep.
And parents get to choose. And the kids have a great education. It's like rainbows and
I was going to say rainbows and sunshine. And
we're gonna end it. Let's end it on rainbows and unicorns.
All right.
We're getting the wrap right now from our wonderful
producer.
There
we go. Thank you for being
with us this week on Education Nation. What are we talking about next week? Really fast.
Next week, we are going to be talking about the SAT test and the College Board.
We've all taken it. We don't all love it. What do we not know about it?
Great.
Next week, Education Nation.